A lot of us enjoy the spring, but it still has too many hints of cold weather when summer is not there and we're in the dead of winter. Summer's almost here. We're fixing to have that warm weather where we can get out and do things and relax and enjoy, well, the yard if you like that, go to ball games, go to the swimming pool, do things like that. Just easy, good weather. I just want to remind you of what things could be like if you didn't have what we think is bad as a winter if we lived up north. They just got through with stuff like this. That's Chicago. Can you imagine being snowed in like that where it snows so much on the highway that the cars get stopped? I've only seen that once or twice in my life where it snowed enough that it caught you. How'd you like to be in Canada? Yeah, I looked at this picture and I thought, who runs those snow plows? How do they do this? Do you know what would happen if we got that much snow here in Chattanooga? We'd close the schools all year. We wouldn't even go back for fear it might snow again. That's pretty bad. And to live in a place where you get snowed in and locked in like this, I mean, this is snowed in. I've only seen a couple of snows like this in my life. But what's interesting, we lived in Wisconsin, we lived in Wyoming, and when it snows like this, they just get out and start shoveling it. I mean, that's not what's going to happen here, but they just dig it out. And some people, I mean, I don't understand why, but as soon as the snow stops, they're out there digging. And so they want to get their cars out, and here's a guy's dug his out. Here's a guy digging his out. I mean, this is snowed in. That's bad. Here's one guy out there trying to get his car. He must really need that. Can you imagine how much work that is? But you're glad when you get in. Mission accomplished. He's in the car. Turn on the heater. Here's a girl. She probably left something in there. She finally got in, got her stuff. She's ready to go. I look at this and I look at these guys and I think, okay, there's a huge snowstorm around them, but they're conscientious. They dig out their car. They get it all cleaned up. You notice there's not even any ice or snow on this car. This car is ready to go. But it's kind of pointless because you're still not going anywhere. How many of you sometimes feel like life can be like this or know people when you look at them that this is what their life is like? They spend all their time digging out of all the problems of the world and getting their car shined up, but they can't go anywhere because of where they're at. It's just all pointless. It's just pointless work. Well, that is not what God wants from us. You know, I like this question right here. If I am a follower of Christ, then where is he leading me? Where am I going? What does he want me to do? Well, I don't think he wants me to dig out a car, spending all day and getting it polished up so that it can sit there stuck in the snow. He's got someplace else that he's taking us. And we started off a couple of weeks ago asking this question, why am I here? Well, Jesus knew why he was here. And it's real evident from the scriptures. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. In John 6:38, he continues and says, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day." Jesus always knew what his purpose was. And I'm looking out at the purpose right here. It was people. And he wanted them in that kingdom. Paul knew why he was here. I love this verse right here in Acts 20:24, where he kind of sums up the purpose or mission of his life. He says, "My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." In Philippians 1:12, he says, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news." And you could really take that verse and talk about everything that happens here on earth. We are God's children. We are in His hands. He is guiding and leading us. Everything that happens to us here is a potential tool for God to show how great He is in our lives. Do you know why you're here? That's a very, very important question. Are you surviving or are you living? What is your purpose? Last week, Sean quoted from Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people what? They perish." If you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have a vision before you, you're going to decay away inside. Because God wants us not to decay away and be sucked more and more into the world as we live, but He wants us to be renewed every day as we become more and more like Christ, as we experience Him in everything we do. He leads, we follow, we have the privilege of seeing His great love take care of us as He uses us to do His great work in the world. So are you becoming more and more like Christ? Or are you slowly becoming more and more like the world? You know, what's interesting about that is that Jesus tells us that lost people, like the prodigal son we studied, they have an easier time recognizing that they are becoming more and more like the world and further away from Christ. Whereas sometimes when we're religious, we can be numbed and blinded by the veneer of all the things that we do and not realize that inside our hearts are not becoming more and more alive with the pounding passion of God and what He is doing. I love this little cartoon right here. And I look at these three guys, and they represent three different thoughts in the church, kind of like the parable of the Good Samaritan. Which one of these guys is becoming more like Christ? You know, you got one guy right here who he thinks serving God means that he is going to concentrate on being as holy as he possibly can, as pure as he possibly can. And we know God wants that from us. But he is consumed with himself, not touching or being a part of anything in the world that might not be pleasing to God. And so he separates himself and he tries to only be, associate, and do with the things that God wants him to. And then you got this guy over here. He's a little bit further along the road because he realizes that there are people out there who are drowning. They're lost. They're separated. Their whole survival is going away as they tread water, desperately wanting help, and they're fixing to drown in their big problem, in this case, the ocean in the cartoon. And so he reads them the Bible, but he stays in the boat. And then you've got the third guy right here. Now, he's still in the boat. He still recognizes God wants him to be holy. He still knows that God's word is very important, but he actually read the word. And what did the word tell him to do? To reach out to others, to see other people. And so he's reaching out to grab a hold and pull people in. Which one is becoming more like Christ? Which one is working with God? Which one is going to experience God because he's following where God leads? They're all in the boat. But they're not all experiencing God. You know, many years ago, probably 20 or 25 years ago, my father told me this story. And it was one of the stories that he told me with a point to it that sometimes took a while to get. But how many of you have ever had someone tell you a story and you knew it was because they wanted you to get some certain message? Well, he was telling me this story. There was a person who had come to town as the new head of a Christian ministry in Chattanooga. And of course, they wanted to meet other Christian leaders, so they had come to one of the Bible studies there, CBMC Bible study. And they introduced him at the Bible study, and so he took that opportunity to kind of introduce himself and give his testimony. And he gave a testimony of how God had worked in his life and how he had called him to come to this ministry. And as he had done that, he was tied financially to a house that he didn't think was going to allow him to go. And miraculously, God had brought someone to buy that house. And then they had moved down here not knowing what they could get or what the market was like in a different place. And God had led them right to a place that they loved, that was right in their price range. And he was just so grateful how he could see God's hands moving him in that direction. And this whole testimony was very involved. It probably took about 30 minutes. My dad said 30, 45 minutes. It might have been 20, but it was a long, detailed testimony. And everybody listened politely, and then it was quiet. And a guy said, "I want to thank you guys for praying for me and for inviting me into this group 4 years ago and for praying for my wife for the last 3 years and for my marriage. Last night, she finally gave her heart to Christ." And everybody celebrated. Now, I want to tell you, I've had many testimonies of God taking care of me and working things out physically in my life. But if that's all your testimony is, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs can give a testimony of how things fit together for them and they were blessed, and they're not even Christians. It's not that we don't appreciate the physical things God does for us, and they are a part of what he does. He promises to take care and give us what we need, and sometimes he does that miraculously. And I take comfort, and I take guidance, and sometimes those are unexpected signs that encourage and strengthen me. But if that's all our testimonies are, about how God blesses and works things out on this earth for us, there is much, much more than that. There is much, much more than that. And I'm grateful that guy had the house he wanted. I'm grateful that he didn't lose some money or he had everything that he needed. I'm grateful for that. That's really good. But it doesn't compare with a man who was lost, who came and found Christ and thought his marriage was going to fall apart, but through prayers and support and love from other Christian people, his wife came to Christ, and so now his family is not broken up, and his children are not pulled between two different families. To see God heal a heart, there's no comparison in those two testimonies. And we need to keep in perspective what God really wants to do for us and through us. Life is not about what happens here. We do see God working here in our physical things that we need. But God's a spirit. He's working in our spirit, and he's working in the spirits of other people. And our work goes beyond God giving us the physical things that we need. I sent this text out to some of the people that Sean sent them out to last week. It's kind of the follow-up question. Actually, I sent them out to a few more than that. I started sending them out, and then I realized, uh-oh, I've sent out 35. I better stop because I can't type that much. And so I pulled it down, and if I don't use yours, don't be offended. I may use it here a little bit in the future. But as I read them, I thought, I need to read these because it was so encouraging. And I simply asked them this. I said, "What changes have you seen in your life growth, your spiritual growth, since you came to realize that God's purpose for you is to reach out and love and invest in others?" And the answers that I got back made me aware of how greatly God had been working inside of the people who had finally seen what his purpose for them was and started to follow him. And I think it's encouraging, so I'm going to read some of them, because what encouraged me the most was to see how deep so many answers were. and to realize how God is working in so many different places. You know, a lot of times, and you've heard me say this before, try not to say it too much, but I've said it before and I bring it back up. A lot of people want to follow Christ any way except in the one way he asks us to. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? They'll follow God in anything at all, but they are not going to be fishers of men. They are not going to reach out and to take the chance of interacting with people on a spiritual level for fear that they're not able to do it. Well, we're not able to do it. But you can't see the miraculous power of God in changing a heart, which is much, much, much tougher than buying a house, unless you follow him. And so I just ask that question. As you have seen that calling in your life and you have tried to follow it, what did God do in you? Not in others, but in you. And I'm just going to read a few of these answers, and I want you to see if you can see a pattern of what happens in people and in their hearts when they start to follow where God is leading. Here's the first one. It says, he has freed me from bitterness and given me the ability to forgive. Wow. He has helped me to realize that even if I'm not valuable to others, I am valuable to him. And if I share the love and joy he has brought into my heart with them, he can bring that same freedom to them. And I really want to see that for them. You think about a freed heart like that. Instead of being centered on herself and angry and bitter about what others had done, all of a sudden now, she's got that ability to let it go and to see with love. Here's another one right here. I find myself doing things I never would have imagined that I had the capacity to do. Start walking in a place where God is leading and touching other people in ways that look impossible. And you start to realize that with God's Holy Spirit, you are capable of things that you thought could never happen. Here's another one. It says, I am more compassionate and more caring towards those who are sick and shut in. I now call and talk to and also send cards to every person that I know that is sick or going through a difficult time or challenging time in their life. This is a change in my life. It brings me great joy, a closeness to God, and makes my faith more real and solid. It's interesting how when we step out and love in others' people's lives, we start to realize how much God really loves us. I like this one. It says, everything in my life is different. Things I used to value, I no longer do or weigh less. My time is not seen as my own. I forgive more easily. I'm offended way, way, way less. I react to negative things in my marriage or other relationships with more gentleness and patience. I'm more apt to go to people to be reconciled if I think I've offended them. I see others with less judgment. It seems 90% of my time is spent focused on others. So I simply don't have time or energy to involve myself in that much nonsense. I think of things from a what does God want perspective more often. Also, what is God doing perspective? Seems to me like their character is being formed to be like Christ, that their mind is being renewed to think the way Christ did. I like this one. It says, I have come to a place where I just naturally and confidently live my faith out in front of others. Reaching out and loving comes more naturally and doesn't seem as forced. I think of myself as an ambassador for Christ. I can make a difference. A pure joy in my heart, the next person writes, that I've never had before. A purpose in my life that I was searching for and never had until I let God into my heart. a true calling inspired by and with the help of God to give something back. Learning to love others and putting their needs before mine. Just having new meaning in my life where I didn't think there was before. All because of the blessings of our Savior. The more they work, the more they see God's tremendous grace and hand. Now, I want to remind you as I'm reading these are all from individuals sitting next to you. This is what's happening in their hearts as they grow in their awareness that God wants them to touch the people sitting next to them. It helps me to love on others the way I'm supposed to. It gives me confidence in my relationship with God. Boy, that's an added benefit of following God, isn't it? Here's another one. When I reach out to extend love for others through my love of Christ, His love is reflected back on me with many blessings through the others that I reach out to. This allows me great peace, joy, and contentment. I could say many other things, but that is as concise as I can be. Actually, I started this telling them as concisely as possible, which was not possible for some. I like this one. It says, I'm not as concerned with what others think of me because I know what I am to do. Man, you talk about freedom. I'm not worried about what other people think right now. I know what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do that. He can take care of what they think. And at the same time, I am more concerned for others and what they're experiencing. So I don't care what they think about me, but I care more about them. And how God's truth and His purpose are at the root of everything. Being united with Christ is what brings us true life. And He says He came to bring that life in all of its what? Fullness. How many of you see a pattern of hearts filling up? And that is exactly what God wants. I would say the thing I've recognized the most as an aspect of growth is that I'm more observant of people, I'm more accepting of others, and I'm consciously seeking ways to include and involve others into our body and family of Christ. Well, they can see themselves doing what God wants them to do. I like this one too. And this is a testimony of what God does in the heart of a person who follows Him. I had never been a person that showed love, compassion, and empathy towards others like Christ did. There's somebody who's come face to face with the difference between the flesh and the spirit. I also never considered myself as someone that could encourage another, but over the last year or so, I have asked God to use me in a way that He has never used me before. Since He has given me opportunities to teach His word to others, I am seeing myself changing spiritually on the inside as He is sanctifying me, or as He is making me more holy or set apart for Him. I am more concerned with others, loving others, and empathizing with them, and praying with them, for them like never before. I can feel the spiritual growth. I pray for its continuance and opportunities. Probably the desire to get into God's Word and to really take my time to understand what I'm reading. It's interesting, as you start hearing God's voice and He leads you, you look at God's Word differently. The pages seem like they're coming alive sometimes, and that desire has me wanting to share that passion with whoever God wants me to share with. That's a testimony of what God wants to do. He wants to bring a relationship with us and His Word alive in our lives. Pretty cool. There are a lot of people with a lot of things going on around us, aren't there? Life all of a sudden stopped being about me, this person writes. I realized God loves everyone, and as a follower of God, I had a responsibility to love others. And just like that, God gave me a love for people. No matter their life circumstance, this newfound love presented ministry opportunities. I now find myself presented in this cycle. And I love this so much, I made a slide up for it. Here's the cycle this person has learned from God. The cycle goes like this. Chance to love someone. They see a chance to love someone. they take the chance. That's the big part of it, isn't it? Love grows and understanding of God grows. That's the unexpected benefit. I ask God for an opportunity. He gives me one. I take the opportunity. The next thing you know, I feel myself loving the person I'm caring for. And I understand who God is and what he wants for me in a different perspective as that love grows. Isn't that what the Bible says? That we're supposed to know the height and the depth and the width and the length. Oh, I got those confused. Wrong order. But right thought. So that we can know, even though we'll never fully understand, that we can know God's heart. Then the cycle goes another chance. Take the chance. Love grows and understanding of God grows. And the cycle continues and continues and continues and continues. And spiritual growth takes place. When I am truly aware of my purpose to reach out and love others for Christ, I become less focused on myself. I had to rely more on God for wisdom. Isn't that what God wants from us? When I started to serve him, I started to realize I can't control and do what God wants me to do. So I really need him. I need his wisdom. I need his power. I relied more on God for those things. God further developed my gifts. I experienced deeper relationships with people. And I love this last line. And I saw hope like never before. How many of you have looked at people or looked at situations and had a hard time hoping? The more God is present in the situation, the more hope that we have. Here's one right here. It says, I've seen a lot of changes in my life. My heart seems to love deeper than before. I have peace beyond belief in the world's storms and an understanding of who I am in Christ. My overall eternal being has been made over and transformed to a heart, mind, and soul which reflects God's love. Let me tell you something. That's true self-esteem. That's not built on my talents or what I accomplish or what I do. That's self-worth that is built upon how God has worked and made me who he wants me to be through his power. That I am worthy because he has made me worthy. And he has given me worth. My life, the next person writes, is richer and fuller in so many ways because of the faithfulness of God each time I pursue my purpose. This next person says, I have experienced indescribable joy and satisfaction as God used me to help others who were struggling in their faith. There is nothing more rewarding than investing in the lives of others. It motivated me to walk closer with God as I realized others were looking at me as an example and not just for advice. I've got a couple more that I'm going to go, but let me read you this one. This one is one of my favorites because it really could be a sermon in itself to think what God has done in this person's heart. I see several areas of growth in my life, and as I continued to grow in my relationship with Christ, the more I grow to be what he called me to be. That's a wise way to see it. The more I grow to be the person God wants me to be, the more my relationship with him grows, the more I turn around and discover I am the person God wants me to be. Once I felt the presence of God in my life, he brought me the abundance of love for others who thought that they were unlovable, hope for those at rock bottom, healing for the broken, and peace for those in need of comfort. Seems like those are the ones Jesus said he was sent to, isn't it? So in essence, my heart changed, which changes the way my mind sees things. I have been the one lost, wandering in the darkness, living in shame, and so miserable in life. I was forgiven and shown love far beyond belief. My sins laid to rest at the bottom of the water. I think they're referring to their baptism. And brought up new. Blessed by his grace, his presence in me. And that's something you want to give to others. Through my growth, I've learned I don't need the things I thought I did. Happiness was here the whole time, and God was right by my side, waiting on me to turn to him. I see now that I wasn't being punished. Wow. There's a lot of people who think God's punishing them. God's not working things out the way that he should. They're angry at God. I love that statement right there. I now see I wasn't being punished. I wasn't being abandoned, and I was in fact loved and valuable to him. He was allowing me and showing me just what I needed to see and truly understand his glory, feel his mercy, and know his love. As my relationship with Christ grows, so does my love for others. That person ought to write a book, don't you think? That encapsulates what every one of us wants to see happen in our hearts when Christ comes in. I've got two more here that I'm going to read. One of them says, I think that one of the ways that I have grown the most is in the fact that I am not as afraid. As in, I can go and speak a kind word to someone or lend a helping hand. I see myself stepping out of my box and doing things that I know God would want me to do. It's not just know he wants me to do, actually doing them. I'm showing love and compassion to those who I feel don't always deserve it because I know through my actions they see Christ. That's getting the picture, isn't it? And I know that each time I talk with someone else about him, that I'm not only bringing them closer to him, but I'm also strengthening my relationship with him. And here's the last one. What have you seen happen in you as you've realized your purpose is that God wants you to reach out and share his love with others? And they say, it strengthens my relationship with him and my faith. You know, you can't follow Christ without that happening. You can't obey Christ without that happening. He promises if we have his word and we obey his word, that not only will the Father love him, but love us, but he will love us and reveal himself to us. It goes on and says, I know he is watching over me, and I know that he knows that I am trying to please him. My faith grows stronger every time I see him working in me. It gives me a real self-worth, not one that is based on who I am, but on how great he is and how valuable I am when I let him use me. Because of him, my life is important. I look at these four fundamentals that we've got. You belong in God's family. God loves us. He wants us. He created us to have a relationship with him. Sin is serious, and it'll ruin your life. Pushing God away, ignoring God, and chasing after the things we want instead of asking him what he wants for our life, we'll always find out in the long run we made the wrong decision when we didn't listen to God. And it will ruin our life. We really become Christians when we give our heart and life to Christ, when we accept his authority as our Heavenly Father, when we decide we are going to follow him. We're going to do what he wants us to do. We're going to go where he wants us to go. We're going to love how he wants us to love. I think that's a song, isn't it? It's a good one. One of my favorites. But when we choose to follow him, we become part of that family. The door is open. We walk in when we accept God's authority in our life. And God has a purpose for your life. You were not saved into the family to sit down on the couch and watch TV. He's got a great purpose for us, and it involves us. And we get to experience life with him, and that transforms us. Now, I don't know about you. I know that was a lot of little testimonies. I could have read a lot more. But how many of you'd say, when I stop and think that there are that many people sitting here that are experiencing God and that on fire for God and for Christ and want to serve him, how many of you think it's almost overwhelming, isn't it? It almost brings us to a place where we just want to thank God for how great he is. And I think one of the things he wants us to do is he wants us to realize what he has done in our hearts. It's no mistake that people feel love and feel Christ's love when they come here. because we're trying to let that love fill us and follow him in expressing it. And it's a powerful, powerful tool. And I think in this next step of where God wants us to go, he wants us to stop and look at what he has done, what he has created in our hearts, the real church inside this church building. He wants us to realize what power that has, what a tool he has given us, and how can we best use it for his glory? How does he want us to follow him? Well, I'm going to ask the band to come up here, and we are going to sing a time of response after we pray here. But as we do, I just want you to stop, and I want you to think about what God is speaking to you right here. Because what I've really done is I've read testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of what a real relationship with Christ is like. And some of you might be sitting out there and you might be thinking, I do not experience Christ like that. Maybe the reason is because I follow him in all types of religious areas which are good, but I'm not following him on the one real mission he created me for. Maybe I need to examine whether or not I've ever really said, I want to follow you wherever you lead. Some of you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, God has done some wonderful things for me. And he's telling me right now, I want you to grow more. I want you to double down and intensify and put your focus off of everything that distracts you in the world on the one thing I want you to do, because I will bring all those blessings. If you seek his kingdom, God and his kingdom, all the other things will be what? They'll be added on to you, but let me tell you, you're not going to have them added to you as blessings. They won't enhance your life if God's kingdom is not first. So maybe God is calling you and saying, hey, I want your focus to be more. I want you to ask that question. What do you want me to do? What are you doing in and around me? How can I actually see you work to do miracles in the people that you have put in my life? So let's just pray. Father, you are such a wonderful God. And your love is so beyond what we could imagine. You don't just have mercy on us. You don't just forgive us. You don't just wipe our sins away, which in itself would be more than we could ever ask. You didn't just die on the cross for us, which is beyond our understanding, how you could even see or love us enough or care enough about us to do that. But you rose from the grave. And your Holy Spirit fills our hearts. And we don't just get forgiven and then try to hold on living the way we were before. But now, you live in our hearts. We can walk through life with you. We can love like you love as you let that love grow in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you want to change us to be like you. Patient, loving, gentle, peaceful, joyous, full of hope, full of faith, full of power. And so, Father, right now, we ask you to open our hearts and let us give ourselves completely to you. We ask you to live in us and through us, and we ask you to work in this world however you want, through our hands, through our hearts, through our lips, and even as we listen to those who are hurting with our ears. We ask you to give us your life, to give us your heart, and we give ourselves to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.